Here's our past, home at last, ever to rejoice. Amen, amen. We would ask that you would turn your Bibles to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, we're going to look at verses 1 through 11. As you're getting there, just a couple of announcements. Let's keep praying for those that are on our sick list and shut-in list. We got some news that Sister Virginia's recovery went well. She had some surgery, and so we're praising God for that. She still has some battles and some hurdles to jump over, but we just pray that the Lord continually be with her and the doctors also as they continue treating her with for chemotherapy and things of that nature. I just talked to Sister Wall a little while ago. Keep her in prayer. Her foot and some other issues that she's going through right now. Let's just keep her and prayed up also. And also we got but we just want to continue to encourage our brother who put the Lord on the baptism, DJ, a couple weeks ago. Continue to keep him in our prayers. And also we have a couple, Anna DeCuna's parents, Roland and Rose, that are also going to be joining with us here at the work here. They're missionaries right now in France, correct? And but they're here for at least 6 months. Maybe the Lord can do something more. but they're going to work with us here at the Green Bank Congregation and place their membership while they're here with us, amongst us here at Green Bank. And so we welcome them to the work here at Green Bank also. Amen. John chapter 10. We're continuing our series in the I Am's of Jesus, and I've actually grouped these two together, so I shortened the sermon series by one, by combining them at least. But I am the gate and the good shepherd. We're going to read from John chapter 10, verses 1 through 11. Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he's brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice, but they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to kill, steal, and destroy. I've come that they might have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." Let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you for this time together in your word. Thank you for all the provisions, all the blessings, all the material and spiritual gifts that you give to each and every one, Lord. And we just pray that as we look at your word on this morning, that we might gain some things that would help us in our walk with you. Truly, you've been so amazing to us, Lord, and we just pray that we can live a life worthy of this great calling that you've called us with. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You ever left out of your house, go to work? You go to work, you put in your 8, 10, 12, whatever hours you put in to your job. And finally, you know, it's a Friday. All right, let's put it on a Friday. Maybe you understand that a little bit better. The time is ticking down, and you know it's about time for you to leave. And you leave out of your employment, rush back home. You had to fight through the traffic in order to get there. You had to pray a lot while you were in that traffic. Amen. And you finally get home and you put the key into the door. Nobody's home but you, right? And you go on in, and you ever just did one of those? Just went inside the house, man, sat on the couch or into the bed or wherever it is that you find comfort, but you feel that relief of being home. I'm thinking about the sheep. There are a lot of different types of sheep. There's some wild sheep, the stragglers that are kind of going out there and just wandering around aimlessly. And then there were sheep that the shepherd was leading. He took them out of the gate, out of the pen, walked them around dangerous areas, finding places for them to be able to graze because they needed to eat. And sometimes in order to, if you had this great flock of lambs and sheep, you would be taking them places where they would be able to eat and drink. And sometimes in, you know, we're going to be talking about this coming week, 96 degree weather. And I mean, sometimes, guess what? The sheep have to still go out and eat. 96 degrees, 100 degrees. They got to go out and find food. They got to go out and drink. And so the shepherd would take them even in these bad conditions. The shepherd would take them out there even while there's animals attacking. And the shepherd would try to fight them off. And think about the comfort of now, after the shepherd's been out there, after you've been trying to find food, after all of that, after you've been walking hours and hours, and finally get back to the fold and you come on in, and just like you walked into that house and fold, I'm home. I can sit on my couch. I can watch the Eagles win another Super. Okay. But you can relax. Jesus says something important, and this is why I group these together, because I think they blend so well together. Jesus is the shepherd. We are the sheep. And his care for us is seen on a daily basis. His love and his protection that he gives to each and every one of us as his sheep. He desires we be in one flock, that we not be scattered here and there, but that we be the part of the same flock, the same family together. And so he unites us into this one family. He brings us into this fold. And in that fold, he protects us. In that fold, he comforts us. While we're in that fold, he helps us as we've been going through the very things of life. And we've gotten beaten up out there in life. We have a place of refuge. We have a shelter in a time of storm. We have our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is that shelter for us. We can rest in him. Jesus makes his first statement. He says, I am the door. Or I am the gate in some of your versions. Really, what he's saying is, I am the entrance. If you're going to get the blessings that are found in this fold, if you're going to get all the provisions and the care that comes with being part of this family, then in order to be able to do that, you've got to come through me. Now, contextually speaking, Jesus was talking to the Pharisees, to the religious leaders, to them. He was accusing them of being thieves and robbers, of trying to come in a different way than through Jesus. Jesus comes to bring us a whole different model of what salvation is about. And in the minds of the Jew, they thought holding on to the law, keeping the law, was what was going to keep them saved, or what was going to get them saved and keep them saved. And little did they know that that was never really the plan. The plan was always Jesus. They just were on the wrong side of history. They were on a different side of history. We now are able to see that clearly. They weren't able to see that. It was dark in their minds. But the plan and the solution for the plan has always been Jesus. And so, but through their eyes, they're thinking, look, through our works, through our ability, we'll be able to get in. And Jesus is here sharing with them and saying, no, I am the only way in. You have to come through me. You can't go through your own works. You can't go through another religion. You can't go through another Messiah. You can't go through anyone else. Jesus is saying, I am the way. If you're going to get entrance in, you can only come in through me. Now, there are a lot of people who say, well, Jesus is just a good moral teacher. He was just a great wise sage of old. Let me say this, and I know brother is going to be sharing about why we believe the Bible is true. Is that next week? Okay, next week in the adult Bible class. Well, why is Jesus true? I mean, that's in there too. I'm sure that'll be somewhere in there also. How can we verify and validate that Jesus is even true? And for them, the Jews of that time, they thought they had all the answers. They thought they had, they were the ones. They thought they were the means in which someone can find God. And Jesus is declaring, I've got something different for you. And oftentimes, you'll see people come to this scripture where it says, all who have come before me, the thief doesn't come but to steal, kill, and destroy. Just so you have that contextually, that's not talking about Satan. That's talking about these religious teachers that were giving someone another option on a way of getting to God. Anyone who would come in and give someone a alternate route, an alternate, is a thief, a liar, a killer, because they're destroying people. They're leading someone in the wrong way, in the wrong path. Amen? Jesus says, look, I'm the door, and he's the exclusive door. He didn't say I'm a door. I'm one of the doors. I am the door. If you're going to get, if I say I got a door in my house, and you got to go through the door in order to get into my house, that's pretty clear, right? There's one, and if you're going to get in, you're going to have to get in through that door. And that's exactly what Jesus is saying. I'm not one of the doors. I am the door. And if you want to get in, if you want to get saved, if you want to find this forgiveness, if you want to get the protection and the comfort that comes with being in this fold, you've got to come through Jesus. It's amazing that if you look at all the other world religions, many of the world religions, that so many of them point back and talk about Jesus even in their own literature. Right? Muslims believe Jesus. They have him in their literature. They point back to him. Now, they don't look at him identically the way we look at him, but they acknowledge his existence. They acknowledge his power. And his influence, they acknowledge a lot of great things about Jesus. And so they in and of themselves are validating Jesus's existence in their own scriptures, right? And not only that, they all point to Jesus, but if you go to the Jesus that they point to, Jesus says, I'm it. I'm it. No one comes to the Father. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. I am the gate. I am the door. Jesus is that door, that opening, that way for us. Jesus also shares, he says, I am the good shepherd. He's not merely just a shepherd. He's an embodiment of the perfect, caring leader, shepherd who cares for his flock, leads his flock, protects his flock, goes out in front of his flock in order to lead them into safety, lead them to provision. Think of Psalm 23. That's the good shepherd. The good shepherd who makes us stop and lay down in green pastures, who leads us beside the still waters. The good shepherd who helps us even when we're going through those, man, those dark places. He's there to protect us and guide us and keep us. The good shepherd willingly lays down his life for his sheep. He demonstrates this sacrificial love that I'm going to take the bullet for you. I'm gonna take the pain that you rightfully deserve, and I'm gonna put it upon my shoulders. And if you can see that sacrificial love, I mean, we look at these in movies all the time, you know, and we celebrate them all the time. But do we really see the extent of what Jesus did for us? It's beyond any Marvel movie or whatever the great cinema production places are right now. Beyond anything that they can do. What Jesus has done is come to show us and say, look, I recognize your insufficiency, and I'm going to, me as all sufficient, I'm going to lay down my life because I understand you don't have enough. I'm going to take the pain that you should take. I'm going to take it upon myself. I'm going to take the punishment that is deserving because of your sins, because of our sins. I'm going to take it upon myself. Think of that selflessness. And Jesus took and did it, why? Motivated by love for each and every one of us. Jesus, as the good shepherd, cares, protects, but then also has knowledge, intimately knows us. And we're to have that intimate knowledge of him also. You know, coming into that, think about the sheep once again coming in. He knows them by name. All right, here you are, little one. You got out there and you were a little rambunctious. I know, you know, and you were out there messing around and got dirty. Look at you. Get on in here and get cleaned up. You out there, you know, but he sees your problem. He sees your issue. He sees your need, and he meets those needs, and he cleans us up, and he continues to protect and bless us, and we find comfort in him. I don't know about you. I find comfort in the arms of the Lord. I find comfort in his word. I find comfort in singing the songs that remind me and tell me the good old story of Jesus Christ. I find comfort in recognizing what is and also what is to come. I find comfort in that. We ought to find comfort in him, in it being in his fold, being his people, receiving his guidance and protection. Through Jesus, the door, we gain access and care to the good shepherd. This door represents that initial encounter we have with Jesus Christ. Wasn't that an amazing moment? Think back to your moment. And I know some of you, it's kind of hard because you're like, well, I grew up in the church all my life, so you may not have the moment. But there are some that you have a clear moment. It was like, look, I was going hard, contrary to God. And then something happened. Then I had an encounter with somebody that told me about Jesus, you know, and then that's your moment. Someone else, once again, it could still be you grew up in church, but then you still have your moment. It just looks a little different. Your moment came when you realized this is mine. This isn't my parents. This is mine. This is my belief. This is my trust that I'm putting in the Lord, not because of what mama said or what dad said, but because of what I know God is for me and what I can read in his scripture and what I know is verifiably true. His word. Y'all with me this morning? Y'all quiet this morning. All right. Inside this fold, you know, the door represents that encounter with the Lord, having that salvific moment. And then inside the fold, this is what we have. We got fellowship. Think about it. Think about the smell inside the fold. Boy, smell good? Do it smell good? You ever been inside a sheepfold? It smell good? You smell one another to your left and right. Hopefully we smell better than that. But you see the metaphor there? All of us are still stained. All of us still have that stench. All of us still have that odor of sin. All of us are still gathered together with one another, with that same odor, but now we've been cleansed. Now we're in his presence and still fighting off a little bit of that odor, but we've been cleansed. We're together. You know why? That helps us because we have a commonality. There's something that all of us have in common. Sin. I mean, that's just one of the things. But sin keeps us all in common. And in the fold, what's the other thing we have in common? The forgiveness, the good shepherd. The forgiveness that the good shepherd gives us. We've been forgiven. We're in this fold together. We've got these same challenges together. We've got the same common solution in the person of Jesus Christ. And what he wants from each of us is an intimacy. He knows us intimately. He knows us intimately. He knows every hair on the top of your head, even on some of them heads that ain't got much hair, all right? He knew the hair that should have been there, right? But he knows us intimately, and he desires that same intimacy with him. So we're now in this fold together with the good shepherd under his love and care. And through those exposures with him, he leads us to abundant pastures, provides us spiritual nourishment, and restores our souls. Then he offers this abundant life. The ultimate purpose of the door and the good shepherd is to offer us abundant life. He says, the thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And what he's saying is, look, there are people, we can live our lives without a shepherd. You can live your life out there wandering aimlessly. You can live your life, you just won't have a good one. You just won't have one of purpose and of meaning. You can live by yourself, but that's not God's plan for us. That's not Jesus' plan for us. He wants us in the fold because together we can do great things together. Together we come together and we help each other and we build one another up and we bear one another's burdens and we love on one another and we provoke one another to love and good works. We're here to encourage one another. There's so much that happens when we're together. And so little that happens when we're apart. He wants us to come together and to come through that same gate, to come for the same purpose, to come with a purpose for us all. It's going to look a little bit differently, but generally speaking, the purpose is the same, to glorify God with what we do. If we want to just make it plain, glorify God with what we do. Whatever we're doing, when you're making your light shine, what are you doing? You're glorifying your Father, which is in heaven. That's our purpose. To put the spotlight back on him based upon how we're living, how we're operating here on this earth. Jesus says, I'm the door. He says, I'm the good shepherd. And he says, I'm promising to give you abundant life. See, this abundant life, some people have taken it and twisted it. They try to make it seem like we're talking about money. Right? Say abundant life. Oh, the Lord wants to bless you with a mansion. Abundant life. Lord wants to bless you with a Rolls Royce. Amen. Abundant life. And they talk all these things. And hey, if the Lord's going to bless you with that, I'm going to sit next to you and hope to get some blessing. But no. Seriously speaking, that look at the disciples. How many of them drove out in a Rolls Royce? Look at Jesus. Jesus said about himself, foxes have holes. Birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. He said, look, the animals are taken care of. I don't even have a place to lay my head. I'm here a vagabond. I'm a traveler right here in this world, in this earth. And I don't need the greatest. I came to get and become the lowest. And in being the lowest, say, I became the greatest. But he's shown us abundant life isn't about having all this wealth and all that stuff. It's about having peace while you're living. Peace in knowing where you're going. Because I don't know if you recognize this yet. You're not staying here. Amen. We're not staying. We weren't born here to stay here. Amen. We are vagabonds. We are travelers. We are pilgrims. We are journeying through this thing called life. And there's one day that's going to happen where we're going to close our eyes for the very last time. We're going to open our eyes and there's a new life that's going to come. There's a spiritual being that's housed within that continues to live on forevermore. And so our job is to make sure that the real you that's in you, not just the flesh and blood, but the real spiritual you, that spiritual you continues to live on with him. See, that's abundance, recognizing that I have riches that are beyond this world. I have riches that are going to carry me. Jesus talked about this mansions that he goes to prepare a place for his disciples, for us. He talked about it as a certainty. I go to prepare a place for you. He's gone and prepared a place by what he did on that cross. And now if we want those riches to live in his glory forevermore, you got to come in through the gates. You got to come in through the door. You got to come into the fold. You got to be a participant in this fold. Continue to get intimate relationship with the shepherd. And continue to grow in him. Jesus told his disciples, this is the last slide. He told his disciples, go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching these disciples to obey all commands I've given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Maybe there's someone here this morning, you haven't come in through the door yet. You haven't come into his sheepfold yet. You haven't gotten the protection and the shelter that he offers those in his fold. You haven't been restored and have your sins forgiven and wiped and remitted. Today can be a morning, a new morning, a new start. In life, maybe there's someone here this morning ready to take the plunge in the water grave of baptism, ready to submit and surrender to Jesus Christ, to start this journey with him. This is a journey that doesn't just start and end, but it starts and you continue on into eternity. The blessings pay off in eternity. The payments continue to be made in eternity for an action you make right now, for a decision to surrender to Jesus this morning. Will you impact your eternity this morning? Are you ready to embrace, to love, to follow, to serve, to submit to Jesus Christ and all the blessings that flow and come from that decision? If you're ready to do that, won't you come right now as we stand and we sing the song of invitation?